cure, or prevent any disease.
We always go to Washington every single show. All of you know that by now. To get the buzz on what's happening there and how it affects you in your own backyard. Thanks to Talk Radio News and Victoria Jones. We're going to do that right now here on America Tonight. Hey, Victoria, what's shaking in your neck of the woods?
Well, no debt talks are shaking, really, because they didn't take place today, although they were scheduled to, and they were actually rumoring to talk tomorrow. That's because House Majority Leader Eric Cantor abruptly announced this morning that he wouldn't go, and the negotiators were at an impasse over taxes, and so the session was pointless. And he called on Obama and Boehner to take it from there, and then Senator Kyle joined in later. What was odd about this is that they've been very collegial talks, I mean, really very collegial talks, and if indeed the meeting on Wednesday was so difficult, which we are hearing it was, then why didn't they all come out together and say, we can't do this anymore, it's not working, now we need to send it to the next level? Why did he basically throw the talks and everybody in the talks under the bus?
Yeah, why?
I don't think that question isn't being asked. I don't know the answer to that. I don't think the question's being asked. I think politically he may have seen it as advantageous to him. It put him in the center of the spotlight for the entire day.
Yeah, oh yeah, all the headlines were screaming about Cantor, negative, positive, or what's the deal, you know, depending on, of course, what you read or what cable show you looked at. But absolutely, he was the story. He was the story coming out of Washington.
Exactly. He was the story. And everybody expected the story would be reaction to last night's Afghanistan drawdown speech. And no, it wasn't. So, you know, so we had that. Then a little bit later we had, oh, the House of Representatives will vote on a bill that will amend the Constitution to require a balanced budget each year. Republican leader Eric Cantor said today. So it's like he's okay. He's doubling down.
Hey, I like that. That's the new phrase, by the way, isn't it? Doubling down.
Yeah. The other one's walk back.
Yeah, I heard that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, and that happens a lot. Okay, speaking of walking, this happened in New York, and you were talking about having the pool report for the LGBT fundraiser in that city, and Obama made an appearance there, right?
Yes, he did. He made an appearance to a big LGBT fundraiser at 12:50 ahead, which is not small change, I know. And there's going to be a gay pride reception next week at the White House also. And he was heckled on gay marriage by one woman in particular. But he said he had expected that. He didn't break any new ground. Apparently his position is still evolving. He did mention the New York legislation pending in the state Senate. He didn't endorse it, said it was right for states to debate the issue. He got off a lot of pro-gay rights lines that did get big applause. He got a standing ovation for getting Bin Laden. But one bit that went down well was when he talked about he believes that discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity ran counter to who we are as a people. I believe that gay couples deserve the same human rights as every other couple in this country. Standing ovation, hoops and hollers of approval. And then, of course, this woman yells out marriage. He says, I heard it. Believe it or not, I anticipated that. Then he said, where was I? Then the woman yells marriage again, ignores it, and says that DOMA should be repealed. Gets big applause for that. And but does not say it. Never says that he supports gay marriage.
Right, because that's the issue with Obama.
Right, that's the issue. And there's a split in the gay community. Some of the older gay rights activists are saying you can't get everything in one go. You have to. You do have to wait. We've just got an awful lot.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, the man who introduced him cited repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which we're still waiting for, but the directive not to defend DOMA, the administration's anti-bullying initiative, lifting the HIV ban for entities into the country, comprehensive AIDS strategy, expanded Family Leave Act, and even the White House's opposition to anti-gay legislation in Uganda. But the really enthusiastic applause was for the mention of the president making the first appointment of a transgender person to federal office.
And who, what, to what office?
I don't remember what the office is, but he has done that appointment.
Wow. Interesting. So we move from the president and what he addresses as far as, or what he addresses, what he embraces in the gay community and what he kind of dances around, to Newt Gingrich, who wants the president's job and says, now, is this true? He's going to hang in there for a while?
That's what he says. He says at a Maryland Republican Party fundraiser, he was asked if he could state definitively that he'd compete in the caucuses. That's early next year. Sure, of course. And he's still dismissing his campaign shakeups. These things happen over and over. They fascinate the media. They have no long-term historic meaning. Well, I have to correct him on this. They do have long-term historic meaning because when about 16 people walk out, and then another two people walk out, and it turns out you've had two lines of credit at Tiffany's, the second one for between $500,000 and $1 million for a necklace that you didn't mention when you were on Face the Nation and knew you had it, that does become meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And that's the part of the downfall. That as soon as that happened, and then a few other things, and you saw the people in his camp start to bail, you knew it was big problems.
I think so. And, yeah. And then he also goes on about how people don't get his style. That the people who decided that they didn't like what he was doing were professional consultants, didn't understand my style. He says, my style is to write books. My style is to have major speeches that have content, as you'll see tonight. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, that means he doesn't want to run for president. He wants to go back to writing books and going on talk shows and talking about the politicians. Hey, we got one last thing, and it's what a lot of people are saying, a way to jumpstart the economy, and that's really what was behind the move. But the president decided to release oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. What do you know about that?
Well, it's the 28 members of the International Energy Agency, that's 28 countries, including the U.S., decided to release 60 million barrels over 30 days. We're releasing 30 million from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the largest release ever, by the way. They're hoping that it'll reduce temporarily the price of fuel and it'll provide a jolt to the economy, but they're saying that it really has to do with offsetting the loss of oil exports created by the unrest in Libya and the Middle East, which they say has raised prices and slowed the economic recovery in the U.S. and overseas.
Yeah, yeah. And there was rumblings that that might happen. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks. Victoria was talking about that dinner, of course, the LGBT Leadership Council Gala that was going on in New York Thursday. And it was at the Sheraton Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. What was interesting is, as she was talking about how he danced around the marriage issue and whatever, you had 600 people that showed up, and she was right, they paid $12.50 to go to this. 600 people. And then there were some celebrities there, like Jane Lynch from Glee, if you watch that, or maybe you've seen her in some of her other things, 40-year-old virgin, the actress, or Neil Patrick Harris, How I Met Your Mother, I think a lot of people know him. But he also went to a $35,800 a plate fundraiser at an Upper East Side restaurant at Chef Daniel's. $35,800 a plate. I know it's about raising the money, because he's going to get $1 billion for his war chest, but who's got $35,800 a plate? Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about ExtendoVite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure is finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. We've been talking about this all week. We did the pregame on Afghanistan, and of course now we know the meat of it after the president spoke the other night. Now what's happened is some of the top military brass have told a Congress that President Obama's withdrawal of 33,000 surge troops from Afghanistan by next summer is more aggressive than the Pentagon initially proposed. But there were defenders like Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and General David Petraeus, of course, who say that it was right on what the president declared, and they're going to carry out the president's orders. Joining us on the show to talk about that, actually, to look at the history of Afghanistan, in a sense, from a historical perspective, Dr. Jeff Warrow, who's the director of the University of North Texas's Military History Center. You can also catch him on a couple of things. He recently filmed an episode of Spike TV's The Deadliest Warrior. He's the host and anchor of the History Channel and History International programs, Global View, for example. Hey, Jeff, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, let's dive right into this. Give us your perspective on what has happened, because a lot of people are trying to compare comparing what happened with Russia and the 9 years in Afghanistan to now. We've way surpassed that by being invested in Afghanistan for 10 years. But there are definitely differences between the two. What are the major differences between what happened with Russia and what's going on with the United States?
Well, I think that, you know, we've invested more in the civil society than they ever did, but it remains to be seen whether that investment will pay off. I mean, recent research on this, you know, and revelations of the press reveal that, you know, a lot of the money we're spending is very analogous to what we did in Vietnam. You know, we're using contractors and we're kind of bypassing the as we bypassed the Vietnamese people at that time, we're bypassing the Afghans and using foreign contractors to do a lot of this, you know, civil society development. And so we may be leaving an untrained, demoralized rump behind rather than a society that's really pulled together under, you know, with the benefit of American and NATO largesse. You know, and so we've done a better job sort of building up the economy and society than the Soviets ever did. And then in our military, operations, we've really pursued a true counterinsurgency, which is quite humane compared to what they did. I mean, they were just going in and, like, killing bad guys however they could, which involved a lot of collateral damage, far more than we're inflicting. So there are big differences there. But I would say that I'm pretty pessimistic about the long-term thing. I think that it looks a lot like the Soviet experience. You remember, they had a couple of puppets there. The last one was this guy, Najibullah.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were leaving Afghanistan, when Gorbachev said, look, this is too expensive, it's gone on too long, we need to get out, now, he set up Najibullah much the way we're setting up Karzai, you know, said, look, just pull the society together, bring in dissident elements, the Mujahideen, just as we're saying, try to bring in the Taliban and make some sort of broad coalition. And, you know, he tried, but he was ultimately overcome by events. You know, the warlords, the Mujahideen, they all, the minute they saw the Soviets were leaving, they were emboldened. And they said, look, we don't need to cut a deal with this guy. We'll just wait till the Soviets leave, and then we're just going to push this guy over and take power ourselves. And that's precisely what happened. So I see, you know, barring some miraculous renaissance in the ranks of the Afghan security forces, which could happen. I mean, we've built them up to a strength of 100,000 now and 300,000 by the time we leave. Maybe they'll be halfway competent, but you know, the results haven't been good. That said, you know, remember, this is a very territorial society. People, they're not going to be pushed over necessarily by the Taliban. I mean, they realize they've got rights to protect. They've got interests to protect. So they're going to defend these interests with all these NATO-provided weapons once we leave. So I'm pessimistic, but I think there's still hope, you know, but not from the nation-building perspective, just from the raw human interest perspective. Some of these guys we're leaving behind are going to want to defend their privileges and perquisites, and that may be enough to, you know, protect a non-Taliban Afghanistan.
Yeah. The other aspect of that is what we leave behind. How about the Karzai government, though? I mean, certainly you realize this. I think it's propped up by, you know, riddled with corruption, I guess is a better way to say that, and nepotism that is bit Hamid Karzai in the butt, so to speak. And certainly they have a limited ability, I think, also to win over the people in those war zones. But there is no better alternative, right? Is that what we're stuck with?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be the best horse in the stall. I mean, we've invested so much in him from the George W. Bush administration to the Obama administration. It'd be impossible to do a course correction now, especially remember the experience of Vietnam when we threw over Diem and embraced the colonels, and we saw where that led us. So, it's like we kind of have to stick with it at this point, particularly given the accelerated withdrawal timetable. It's a question now of, you know, just kind of talking to this guy, hoping for the best, talking to the men around him, trying to make sure that the police and the army are trained up and determined to protect what we've built in the last 10 years. So, no, we're kind of stuck with him, and he's stuck with us until 2014.
Yeah. I was talking about this on our previous show. I dug up an old quote from Henry Kissinger, who famously said that in an insurgency of this kind, it's really the guerrilla army that wins by not losing, and it's the conventional army that loses by not winning. Do you think that's true here?
Yeah, I do think that's true. I mean, I think that what's happening now is that they see the timetable and they're going to sort of wait us out. Now, this implies no criticism of Obama. I mean, Obama, he can't stay in Afghanistan, you know, through 2020 or 2030. I mean, at some point we have to leave. We're spending $20 billion a month in that godforsaken country. So he has to get out. And In fact, I would be in favor of a faster withdrawal than he's doing right now, like most Americans. But I think their idea is going to be to wait. Now the only criticism I've heard there that I think is somewhat fair is by leaving getting the Sturge troops out in the summer of 2012, we're going to sort of nip the prime fighting season in the bud, because we'll be focused on drawing down the force at the time when we ought to be fighting the Taliban, or be coming out of their winter quarters and fighting in the spring and the summer. But he obviously Obama wants the Sturge troops out before the 2012 election. And he wants the whole lot out by 2014. I think that's reasonable to expect. I mean, this is plenty of time, plenty of investment, and we've got the NATO armies that are trying to get out at the same time, so we're not going to be the last ones in there. And we really need to be, tending to domestic issues, but also sort of looking about our strategic, picture, all over the globe, and where do we want to spend our defense dollars? And it's probably not on mud-walled villages in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree. How do you think this goes down in the history books? You're a history guy. How does this look 20 years from now?
Well, it looks like an example, I think, of American overreach. I think if we had to do this all over again, we would never have gone into Iraq to topple Saddam Hussein. I think most everyone would agree on that now. And as for Afghanistan, yes, we needed to go in and punish the Taliban for harboring Osama bin Laden and not giving him up. But I think a more focused strategy on counterterrorism, such as, yielded to capture of Osama bin Laden, would have been a better investment of American dollars than this attempt to knock over the Taliban and stand up a new government under Hamid Karzai and create some model society. Now, we've obviously backed away from that recently, but we're still sort of stuck with this idea of a new nation fostered with American aid. And I think that looking back 20 years hence, we're going to look back and say, why didn't we just go in and fight with the Northern Alliance like we did, knock over the Taliban, and then, align ourselves with the winners of that conflict, leave bases there, CIA and military bases, to look for the bad guys across the border in Pakistan, because that's where they all are. And, ultimately, this whole thing is not about Afghanistan. This whole thing is about Pakistan.
Right.
And managing the duplicity of Pakistan and the bad choices Pakistan is making, harboring terrorist groups, building up their nuclear arsenal, being obsessively paranoid about India. When India is such a big, mammoth country, the next China, they really don't care about Pakistan anymore, but the Pakistanis are so obsessed with the Indian threat, they'll do anything, including, harboring all these terrorist groups inside their borders, creating mayhem inside Afghanistan, building up a nuclear program in very dangerous ways. And I think really why we're staying on in Afghanistan until 2014 is far more to police Pakistan than to manage the development of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. A perfect way to sum this up. Dr. Jeffrey Warrow, thanks so much for lending us your insights on Afghanistan from the historical side. We appreciate it.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow.
guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play again. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
All right, speaking of holding someone's hand, we're not going to be doing that in Afghanistan. Eventually, 2014, the final flow of troops out of that country. So what was the response from the man in charge, who we were just talking about, Hamid Karzai? You know, I don't have much use for Karzai based on some of the things that over the entire course of this ordeal, because it has been an ordeal, the highs, the lows, when there have been civilian casualties, which nobody wants, but happened in some of those drone situations where he just went nuts. And then I think of the physical investment, the manpower, the money, everything that we've thrown at Afghanistan, and some of his comments, man, they just get under my skin there, right? He is not the right guy, I think, to continue to lead Afghanistan because he's obviously riddled with corruption around him. Who knows where he's taking the money from? So what's going to be different about the country? We saw what happened in the election. A lot of the people didn't want him to be the guy anymore, but he made sure he was the guy. And we had to back it up with the whole counting of the ballots and all the other nonsense because he was our guy. Karzai stayed in place. So here's a little snippet. See if you can understand this. Here's a little snippet of the Afghan president.
اعلان جارت ماب رئیس جمهور امریکا را در مورد خروج 10,000 از نیروهایشان امسال و تا با وسط سال آینده.
All right, let me interpret. Get out now, U.S. We want the mineral rights that we have in our country so we can split it down the middle with a much better partner. No, not really. He talked about the troop withdrawal, and that's what he's talking about there. And he announced that it's a sign that Afghanistan is taking over its own security and is trying to defend its territory, but its own means. He must have said own 20 times. So he said they are thrilled with the announcement. Karzai pretty much painted a rosy picture of Afghanistan, saying it was incredibly stable now at this point. Incredibly. I wouldn't use the word incredibly, but maybe he misused the word. He said that even though May was the bloodiest month for the people in that country since 2007, he said that they're ready to take the reins of their own country, that they can do it. He also defended vehemently his criticisms of NATO, which, of course, have been pretty angry lately. He blasted the NATO folks for civilian deaths and the nighttime raids. He didn't want any more nighttime raids, remember that. And the idea for the nighttime raids was you're going to try to pick out the Taliban. That's where you had to get in there and get out. He said his comment on NATO becoming an occupying force was taken out of context, though. But he also said he didn't regret making the comment. And see, now he's learning about sound bites. He said that it wasn't seen, and this is the translation thing that you heard there. He said it wasn't seen in the full civilian, in the full sentence that he spoke. And it was after the people were killed in Afghanistan, where some children were killed in an aerial bombing. So he complained that his sentences were cut, were chopped up. And he stressed that there has to be some kind of cooperation between his homeland and Pakistan and India to try to bring all the conflict down. And that the United States and other allies could do a lot to expanding the talks with the Taliban. Oh, man. Here we go again. We are the brokers of peace. But when does it work? Not to be cynical. I'm not trying to be cynical. Well, we got that whole Israeli-Palestinian thing going on, and now we're brokering peace between Pakistan, India, and Afghanistan. And, of course, that's already happening. Conversations are always taking place. But the realistic possibility of those three getting in bed together comfortably, for lack of a better way to describe it, I don't think so. Not in our lifetime. Especially what has happened in Pakistan. I mean, absolutely, Pakistan should have been the place to begin with. So this war on terror, I mean, what is the war on terror? As some people have said to me, and hey, not for nothing, but you could look underneath the hood and question a lot of things. The money that it's cost us and cost the rest of the world to make us, what, more safe, less safe, thinking we're safe? It's like a big, major PR campaign. It's like the war on drugs. We were talking about legalizing in a slightly different way. We were talking about legalizing pot and the fact that Congressman Ron Paul and Congressman Barney Frank proposed a bill to legalize marijuana or basically end the federal ban on pot. And good luck pushing that through, but the idea is, why do we have so many people in prisons on some of these petty things when it concerns cannabis? Wouldn't we be able to save that much more money? What about if it was legalized in the states and the taxation issue and how much more money could be raised? So while the conversation there, you know, they're talking about legalizing pot, and then you see, think of opium fields in Afghanistan. And then you look at the war on drugs and the 40 years of the war on drugs. How much has been spent on that and how much success really has there been? So when we also look in the war on terror, when we look back, since we were just talking to a history professor who's on the History Channel, how does this turn out? And you heard what he said. Will history really be kind in this area? And I'm going to say no, because you jump into this situation, and I keep going back to the Kissinger quote because I think he's dead on when he says it. The people who don't win are the people who come into this situation where you have insurgency. And it is like this whole elusive war on terror thing. Now, of course, what are you going to do? You can't sit back in the weeds. Oh, well, you know, let's try to target where we think the bad guys are, and let's try to put a lid on homegrown terrorism. Of course, we can't have blinders on. But how much money are we throwing in the wrong direction? So that's what I'm asking you, America. I mean, think about it. Drill it down with me. War on drugs, war on terror. Big major PR-ish kind of campaigns. Because, it's, you know, we're in a war. We're in a war on terror. We're going to get the bad guys. We're in a war on pot. We're in a war on heroin. We're in a war on drugs. We're not going to let our teenagers get addicted anymore. But the sad truth is, more than ever, people are doing drugs. But what's the alternative? What's the answer to pushing out the propaganda and to making people really believe, hey, we're trying, we're doing it, we're having the meetings, doing what we have to do? You might be a little bit more clever than I. I have a few suggestions, though. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Speaking of the pot and legalizing pot, another controversial bill, another way to raise money, is going to make its way onto the floor on Friday. Joe Barton from Texas, in fact, is going to have a press conference to unveil the bill, give us some of the finer points of it. And you know what he wants to do? Legalize online poker. And he's got a bunch of co-sponsors on this. And this is the same thing. You got some Republicans throwing in, you got some Democrats throwing in. And the argument is, it's an issue of personal freedom. And that's what some are saying about the legalizing marijuana thing. It's an issue of personal freedom, and the government shouldn't stop people from playing a game of skill. That's how they're positioning it. So now, to try to get this through, the bill is looking for a friendlier home, going to the House Energy and Commerce Committee, because they might be more open than the Financial Services Committee. This bill would require poker sites. Think of the poker sites that you've been to in the past to register through the gaming commissions of states that allow gambling. And then they would say, here we go, money for the federal government. And then we would create a federal body, basically, whatever they call it, to oversee that specific industry. But there is, I think, a stroke of brilliance in this, because this money is just going to go overseas anyway. People were spending a fortune on online sites, and then when you shut them down, there's revenue, there is money that could help with this ridiculous situation we're in. I like it. I don't understand why this won't pass. The sad, tired argument about, oh, then that leads to people in dorms gambling all night long, and they should be studying, and think of people who, the money they're losing and whatever. It's personal responsibility. You can't keep taking away things from people and treating them as though they were in kindergarten. Sorry. We have alcohol. People abuse that, and some people get the moderation thing, and they can have a drink and enjoy it and be out at dinner and not get hammered and get behind the wheel of a car. So why couldn't it be about personal responsibility with online poker? And it's revenue. It's revenue that is desperately needed. I'm just thinking. Free Thinking Friday, that's what I'm calling this show. All right, coming up on the flip side, if you want to throw in your 2 cents on any of the nonsense we've been talking about, it's not nonsense. Please give us a call, 800-259-5791, and we're going to check the mail.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You're listening to America Tonight and hanging out with me, Kate Delaney. We're going to check the mail because, man, it's been an overflow of comments on Afghanistan and a few other things. We're going to do that in just a second here. But a quick reminder to all of you listening, get in your brushes with fame. What is a brush with fame? It means if you're at some greasy spoon somewhere and Terry Bradshaw walks in, and you have a conversation with Bradshaw, shakes your hand, maybe you get all cheesy and you ask for an autograph and ask somebody to take a picture of you with a cell phone, and he does it, he obliges. That's a brush with fame. Somehow you were in Montana and you ran into the greatness of Terry Bradshaw. I think he's brilliant on that Fox show, by the way, on Sundays. But that would be considered a brush with fame. It could be somebody in politics, somebody in sports, somebody in broadcasting for that matter. Let's say you're out bowling in New York City and guess who's in the lane next to you? Because I know we have a lot of people in New York listening to us. It's the anchorman from NBC, Brian Williams. And who's with him? Katie Couric. And her young squeeze. It's a double date of big-time anchors. So, yeah, that'd be a brush with fame. You would have to have some kind of conversation, though. Not just looking at them in a distance, because we've all had that. You could just say, well, I was at the Kiss concert, and I saw Gene Simmons from afar. I was all the way up in the nosebleeds. That doesn't count. There has to be something, like an autograph, a quick conversation, a picture, or whatever. Who knows? You're out playing golf and rounding out your foursome, Brett Favre. After everything that happened with Brett Favre, he's not in hiding. He's out there taking a few swings off the tee, and you get him in your foursome. That is an incredible brush with fame. And here's the reason why. Because next week we're giving away a leather jacket. Leather jacket. It is sweet. USA on the back flag leather jacket. The kind you could picture Michael Phelps in if he were a Winter Olympian. He probably does have a leather jacket with a USA flag on it. But it's seriously, it's the one that Evel Knievel used to wear. So it's one of the best prizes that we've ever given away on the show. And I'm so excited for somebody to win it. So get those in. You have to go to the website, americatonight.net. Click on the email. Send me the email. Give me your quick story. And then we'll have all the names in a virtual hat, and we will draw a name. And perhaps that name will be yours, so you will walk away with the leather jacket. So how about that? All right, quickly, let's turn to the mailbag.
Woo! The mail is here! Woo!
It is a big, ooh. That's what I say now when I get the regular U.S. Postal Service to come to my house, because I have a bad feeling about that. They are so upside down. We'll be lucky if we get our mail delivered to us. That whole rain or sleet, or getting jacked with. They hijack you at the post office, meaning the people that work there are not happy. You might not get your mail. So that leather jacket, I might have to send Donovan Madsen on a plane to hand deliver it to you, because I'm worried if it would reach its destination. All right, let's take a couple of these emails for you. This one is from Laura Shanner. She says, Kate, really enjoy the show. Appreciate a lot of the conversation about Afghanistan lately, because believe it or not everybody is so focused on it. I'm focused on it because my husband was deployed twice. Thank goodness he came back in one piece. He had some interesting stories to tell, no doubt about that. And I really feel for that crew in New York and how much more this will linger for them. I understand about the sacrifice of war, but the ending to this story to me just feels like a sad one. You mentioned that there really isn't a win here. And as somebody who has sacrificed, that's just depressing. Yeah, you know, that's what we've been talking about. What's the outcome of this when NATO leaves Afghanistan? Especially you think about people in the military. Since I have a lot of people in my family who have served, it's about those orders. It's about carrying out the duty. It's about going to the destination, doing what you have to do, making that sacrifice for the USA. You're there. You're doing what's asked of you. But everybody wants to get the gold star, meaning not necessarily the gold star as you move up the ranks, but the attaboy. Wow, fantastic. You made the world a better place. You keep us safer by what you do. And, you know, there is something to that, because some things did happen in Afghanistan that were very significant. How much was the Taliban actually, you know, how much did they slay the Taliban? How many terrorist camps did the U.S. get a handle on that they snuffed out or were able to hit some people? This is why that conflict with Karzai is so annoying, because, yes, and I know some people don't agree with this, but I like the idea of the drone. You just have to get it under control and not have drones gone wild. But because of the drone, I'm sorry, there's been massive success in taking out the boogeyman and taking out some of the worst of the Taliban. Civilian casualties, you can't say enough about how awful that is, but But this is war. That's the idea. Go in, get them, get out. So I would say anybody who serves should hold their head up high and feel proud of some of the things that were accomplished there. It's just that there's not that W to walk away from. And let's hope that we're all wrong and this country, it just flips in a different direction. And it really does have the security forces who learned and they stand on their own 2 feet. I mean, that would be the best thing. This one comes to us from Bob, who says, I can't believe that Obama is only withdrawing 5,000 troops and then another 5,000. Katie, I agree with you and Ron Paul. Get them out and get them out now. Sure, it'll take a little time to do a full withdrawal, but I'm saying do the full withdrawal by next summer. The whole thing, not just the surge troops. This guy is playing politics, and that's what it's about. Remember when he ran, and hey, I voted for him. I'm a Democrat. He said he would get everybody out of Afghanistan. That did not happen. How can we elect him again? He has let down the United States of America when it comes to the troops and the situation, certainly in Afghanistan. Mm. This one from Joe, who says, what's going on with gas prices? I don't understand. One day I go and I'm getting gouged literally at the pump. The next day I go, it has dropped down by 25 cents. What's happening? Well, what's happening is that same old chicken game with gasoline. In fact, what's interesting is the U.S. is tapping into those the oil stash, 30 million barrels, so the reserves. But going to the reserves because of what's happened in Libya and to some other supplies, some people think, oh, that's not the right move. Why are we doing that? Why are we doing this? But one thing you will see is lower gas prices. I guarantee it. Now, the highest prices, of course, are always going to be like in Chicago and in California, but the 30 million barrels from this, what they call the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and that's a whole international deal, is to make up for what's happening in Libya, the oil production there. But the interesting thing is, remember, Libya's oil really goes to Asia and to Europe, not to the United States. But still, the president and the administration, they position it that it's a decision that will increase the supply ahead of our nation's summer driving season. Now, why do you think they do that? If I was going to get reelected, what did I say? What's in your wallet? People have to have jobs and people don't want to pay a fortune for gas. You keep the gas price down. If you keep that down, you have a much better chance of sailing in, if you're Obama, into a second term. That's the way I look at it. Have any thoughts? You can send them to me just like they did, americatonight.net. Go there, click on the email, bada bing, and you're in.